Hey everybody, I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to talk to you today about a very deep topic that I don't think is discussed as much as we should inside of church, and that is wounds from mothers. Now, a lot of times in church, you'll hear about wounds from a father. You'll hear how God is our heavenly father and can heal those voids in our life. But oftentimes, we don't hear this truth, that not is God only a loving father, but he's also our nurturing mother. And that part of being adopted into God's family means that you and I can receive nourishment from God. Now, one of the ways God nourishes us is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in John 16 that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our counselor, our advocate. And so lots of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit are nurturing characteristics, receiving that ministry of the Holy Spirit. But in order to receive this ministry, we have to become vulnerable. And here's the problem. If you've experienced a wound from your mother, and it could have been unintentional. In fact, a lot of wounds from mothers are unintentional. Maybe it is that your mother walked through an illness and she wasn't able to be there for you emotionally. Maybe she walked through the horrific experience of finding out her husband was committing adultery. And because of that, she fell apart and she wasn't able to be there for you. Or maybe your mom grew up in a family herself where she wasn't nurtured. Maybe her mother was an alcoholic. And as best of intentions as she had, she wasn't able to give to you what was not first given to her. So oftentimes our mothers are doing the very best that they can do, but there's almost like there's this code against talking about that, as if we're doing something wrong or dishonorable by doing it. Well, here's the truth. Here's the truth that most times wounds from mothers are unintentional. They're things that our mothers do because they're looking for love and nurturing themselves, and they see that need to be met with us. But here's the thing. Even if they're unintentional, if they are unattended by you, then what happens is that it yields the fruit of shame, insecurity, dysfunctional friendships, and generational patterns. In other words, you could actually pass down the cycle. Now, there's a book out by Susan Forward, and it's called Mothers Who Can't Love. This is not written by a Christian author. And guess what? There's some of what she says that I don't agree with, but there's a whole lot that I do. And what I love about this book is that she wraps words around the different types of mothers that wound. And she puts words to it. And what's powerful about that, number one, is that for some of you, it may really validate the experience that you had growing up that was so hurtful. But the other thing that she says, and she's a published author and she's also a PhD and a psychologist, but she says from her experience, so this is her looking out into humanity and what she's experienced, that women who suffer the most from insecurity, a lack of self-worth, shame, and dysfunctional relationships have a wound from a mother. But there's this code out, right? Like, we don't want to talk about it. We'll talk about wounds from the father, but not wounds from the mother. And what happens is that we live in denial and we don't address the wound. The wound, while unintentional, becomes unattended. And this can yield the fruit of shame, insecurity, and dysfunctional friendships, and you can pass it down. But God can heal that hurt in such a way that a new fruit will emerge, and that is agape love for yourself and agape love for others. And this is important, because if we don't address this wound, that wound, we might pass it down to others. as we look to others to heal us. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about looking to the true source of nourishment to receive what you need. Now, next in our next podcast, we're going to be talking in John 16. We're going to be talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But today, what I really want to focus on is I want to focus on positioning yourself to receive that ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes what happens is that our survival mechanisms that we adapted to survive our mother wound, right, often go back to self-reliance. They often produce a lack of trust. Well, self-reliance and a lack of trust does not allow you to abide. And when you cannot abide in God, you don't bear fruit, right? And so we need to just sort of take inventory today by talking about this. And I want to give you some examples that Susan gives in her books of mothers who can't love. Some mothers are narcissistic. They always have to be the center of attention. And when you grow up inside of that home, what you learn is that if I perform, then I'm valuable, right? Like if you got the award, then that makes your mom look good. So then you're good. The other thing that you learn, though, is because the attention has to center on your mom, is that your needs are not important. Others of you may have grown up in an overly enmeshed home, like where your mom really got her needs met through you. Some of you may grow up where moms were control freaks, right? Where they just controlled every aspect of your life. Maybe it is that you're 30 and you're listening to this and your mom is still trying to control you. And maybe it is that you grew up in a home where your mother needed mothering and she appointed you. And so maybe inside of middle school or at the age of when you were in sixth grade, you found yourself counseling your mom. You found yourself being there for your mom, nurturing your mom, not wanting to do anything to upset your mom. And so you had to grow up quick. You had to grow up quick. And then on the very, very far extreme of this are mothers who just neglect and who batter. And in all manner of these mothers were all hurting, but you came in the line of fire. That's what happens with sin. That's what happens when we're looking outside at another source to fulfill our needs, is that it ends up hurting us. But if we don't address the wound, then the wound becomes unattended, and then the cycle will continue. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. And this is sort of part one of this message. I'm going to be in John chapter 15, and we've been walking through, if you've been listening to our podcast, you know that we've been walking through John chapter 13 through 17. And what we're looking at are the very last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples over the Passover meal. And while the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke feature that event, John sort of takes a magnifying glass and just brings us into the words that were spoken at that table. And so inside of John chapter 15, Jesus begins this part of his speech with an I am statement. Now, inside of the Gospel of John, Jesus did this often. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door or the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so now he's saying, I am the true vine. Now, just like Jesus did in so many other cases, not only did he say an I am, but he used something in the natural world to paint a spiritual picture. And so back then, lots of people had grapevines because, you know, they drank wine and they grew their own grapes and blah, 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 blah. And so they would understand this. And here's what they would understand, that lots of things about this, that this picture illustrates. But the primary thing to me is that there's all these branches that stem off from a grapevine. If you look at a grapevine, it's, you know, planted in the ground in one place, and then all these branches sprawl out. Every single branch is nourished from the vine. It's nourished from the vine. Branches don't nourish the branches. It's nourished from the vine. And so in order for a branch to thrive, number one, it needs to be connected to the vine. If the branch gets cut off, it's not going to be connected to the vine. But that also, what is needed to thrive and to be blessed and to be nourished comes from the vine. And Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. In other words, in me, connecting with me, abiding with me, you will receive nourishment that you need. And a part of that is you and I taking inventory of our lives and asking ourselves this question: are we looking to a branch to give us nourishment, or are we looking to Jesus? You see, nourishment will fulfill that need in us to be nurtured. And branches, well, sometimes we might throw ourselves on them, but they cannot bear all the weight. They cannot bear all the weight. It is only through Christ. So when we're connected to Jesus, we receive blessing and nourishments to thrive as a branch. Now, I read one commentary. I thought this was very fascinating, that talked about the fact that when Jacob is prophesying over his sons in the book of Genesis, he talks about Joseph as the fruitful vine. And we know that Joseph faced many negative circumstances. You know, he faced dysfunctional family and being accused of sexual harassment and staying in prison. And even though he faced all of that trauma, that he still thrived. And this is the picture of nourishment from God, that it doesn't matter what's going on around us, that if we have that nourishment, that we have a source that cannot be taken from us. And this was actually God's intention for you and I with our mothers, that our mothers were to mirror this for us, that whatever happens to me at school today, that whatever happens out there in the world, when I come home, there's a nurturing, safe place for me to come home to. But for some of you, that was not the case. And when we don't have that, there's a inability to trust, right? And we bring it into our relationship with God, okay? And it's not your fault that this happened. It's not your fault that this happened. It's not your fault that you struggle with this insecurity, that you struggle with this fear, that you struggle with having female friendships, right? You were not given nurture growing up, okay? Now, before we start to hold unforgiveness and get bitter about the branch that wasn't there for us, we need to remember that that's not going to fix things, that we live inside of a fractured world. And so there's imperfect marriages and imperfect husbands and imperfect mothers. And that's a part of being inside of a broken world. And you know what? Can I validate it? It wasn't fair to you. It wasn't fair to you that when you were little, you had to let go of childhood and all of a sudden be the adult. It wasn't fair to you that when you expressed a need to your mom, that need wasn't met. And so you just assumed, well, I've got to survive myself. And you started a life of self-reliance. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair that her world fell apart and all of a sudden she couldn't be there for you. That wasn't fair to you. And you know what? It wasn't God's heart for you. That wasn't his plan. Because we know that God's plan, that God, we look in the Garden of Eden and we look in heaven, there will be no more tears, there will be no more crying. It's not the sin and it's not the brokenness, but that while we're here, that he's given us a way to deal with this brokenness. In fact, as he's speaking to the disciples in John chapter 15, he's speaking to them before he's going to be crucified. And it's like he's giving them, you know, all these things. I want you to remember. I want you to remember. And so inside of our broken world, when he says, I am the true vine, To me, what he's talking about, I read this in one commentary, is that a relationship with God is about intimacy and trust and fruitfulness. And that as we trust, that we bear that fruit. But we've got to put ourselves in a position of trust. Now, also, Israel is referred to in the Bible as a vineyard. And so Jesus is essentially saying, I am the true vine. Just like he said, I am the good shepherd. In other words, there were leaders inside of Israel that were false shepherd and that led people astray. And so from that, Jesus is saying, no, I'm the good shepherd. He wants to show them what a true leader is. And many of you listening, in the same manner that God gave us mothers to nurture and to lead us, but you didn't have that. But hear the words in the text today. I am the true vine. Jesus is your true vine. Now here's a scripture that is you're just going to love. It says this in Romans 11, 17. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. And I want you to hear that again, that you are guaranteed grafting into this vine by your faith. And then it says, so now you also receive the blessing God has promised to Abraham and his children. I mean, are you tracking with me? In other words, you are inside of God's. God is not just your loving, he is your nurturing mother. And it says, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants to nourish you. And even if you had a mom that was all that in a bag of chips, and she was wonderful. In fact, one of my friends gave me this perspective. She said, you know, Aline, my mom was everything. She was. She was everything to me. But because of that, it was hard for me to trust God, right? Because I had always depended on my mom. So all of us have to have this time where we see that God that is our nurturing, he wants to nurture us, okay? And so as we abide, it says, as we abide in him, remain in him, and that means staying in his presence, soaking in his presence, and surrendering to his word, that's when we can really receive the nourishment. But here's what happens. Our survival mechanisms get in the way. And they separate us from this nourishment. And instead of soaking in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are standing on the sidelines to watch it instead of wading deep into it. Now, I'm in my quiet time. I'm reading the Gospel of Matthew. And I've been so struck this week inside of the third chapter because there's this scene with John the Baptist, and to baptize means to immerse, to soak fully, right? And it really sort of reminds me of this idea of abiding, you know, just abiding, remaining in the presence. And so John the Baptist is calling people to repentance and to baptism. And it says that people from all over the Judean countryside came and they were baptized. But not everybody. There were some people, Pharisees, Sadducees, who stood back and they watched the baptism instead of waiting in the baptism. And then on the end of the chapter, chapter 3, Jesus comes to John to be baptized, and John says, I can't baptize you, right? Like, you're like God. You know what I'm saying? You're God's son. And Jesus says, no, we must do what God requires. And so here you have Jesus, who doesn't need to be baptized at all because there's no sin in him. He's just surrendering to God, and he's stepping into the waters while the Pharisees are standing back and just watching all the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And John comes on to say, he says, you know, he says, there's going to be, one will come after me. I'm not even fit to tie his sandals. And he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit, a lot of that, our comforter, our advocate, is that nurture. And I want to ask you, are you wading deep into the waters of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, or are you just watching? You see, the Pharisees were depending on their righteousness and their works and their self-reliance, right? And you and I must become vulnerable before God to receive. And see, part of the mechanisms, because one of the things, after reading Susan's book that I learned, and again, Susan is not a Christian author. I don't agree with everything that she says, but I think she's done a great job of identifying the problem, right? So part of the problem is that you internalize things that you may not say out loud, but that you actually believe. You believe that you're not good enough. You believe that it's not okay to receive. And so it's hard for you to receive comfort from God. In other words, nobody ever comforted you. So how are you going to receive comfort from God, right? Maybe it is that you expressed a need and the need wasn't met. And so there's distrust that happened from that. And you pull away into that self-reliance. Or perhaps it is that you don't even know how to speak up about your needs, or you feel guilty for doing that. And so what happens is you try to just take care of yourself the best you can, but there's a need that needs to be met. You don't speak out about it. And then one day you just bust open in anger, right? And God says, I want to be the nurturing mother that you never had. Rich nourishment is from me. But we must become vulnerable and do what God asks us to do. We must become vulnerable and admit that we need to be nurtured. I was just speaking with a ministry leader, and with tears in her eyes, she told me she let go of a ministry that she was involved in for years. And she said she had gotten so worn out and busy because she was looking to an outside source to fill that inner need that she just literally fell apart. And it was when she stopped everything in her life that she saw that she needed to be nurtured by God. And sometimes if we grew up in a home and our mothers saw the awards we got, that was where we got our praise, then we just work and work and work and work and work, and we never stop to receive nourishment of God. See, we need to admit and become vulnerable before God and admit our need for nurture. And inside of our need for nurture, we find the nourishment that we've been longing for. And not only that, the power to create a new legacy as we lean and abide in God. So I'm going to give you four things from John chapter 15. The first thing is that you need to detach to attach. You need to detach to attach. You need to leave to cleave. So we've got to call a thing a thing. And the branches in your life. Now, inside of John chapter 15, it talks about how some of the branches had to be pruned. Other of the branches had to be cut away, right? And some branches in our life need to be cut away. Other branches, other people in our life, you know, they're not perfect. They're susceptible to pruning, just like you and me, right? But the thing is that the branch was never the source for nourishment. And a branch cannot be fed by another branch. And so we've got to call a thing a thing. We've got to own up and stop living in denial. And we've got to say, That hurt. What happened to me hurt, right? And then there has to be a release. And it's almost like this. Some of you may need to draw some physical boundaries inside of your relationship, right? And just because you draw boundaries with somebody, it doesn't mean that you're holding unforgiveness. It means that you're creating space for God to do His work, right? And if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do that, you can trust that. So there may need to be some physical boundaries, but even if you put physical boundaries in place, if you don't detach or leave in your thinking and cleave to God, in other words, what I'm saying to you is, if you don't start to see if you don't cleave to God as your sole source for nourishment, right? Even if you do draw a physical boundary, you're still going to be trapped in that shame and insecurity, right? As you look to a branch to give you what only God can give you. And that's why we end up coming empty, okay? Now, I love this scripture, Genesis 12. God is coming to Abraham, and it says, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. And so inside of this passage where God comes to Abraham and tells him, I'm going to bless you. One of the very first things that he tells him to do is to leave your family. And I think for all of us, I don't mean like then you don't have a relationship with them. I mean, there has to be a shift in your thinking where you see God as the source and you see people as the branches that could never ultimately give you what only God could. You've got to call a thing a thing and stop denying that it hurt. You know what I'm saying? Stop denying that it hurt. It may have been that it was a bad branch. And you know what? That's not unchristian for you to say, you know what? This hurt in my life. What is bad is if you don't forgive. And that's a part of leaving and cleaving too, is releasing that person from being your true vine. Releasing them from being that source of nourishment. Letting that go, right? So that you can connect with the true vine. So you've got to detach to attach. And sometimes that means drawing physical boundary. But for everybody, it's a realigning in our thinking. When people let us down, when we're disappointed, to remember what our real source is. And a big way to do that is by forgiving that person, acknowledging the pain, but then saying, I release you from needing to give me my worth and value, from meeting my needs. And I'm now going to look to God, all right? So detach to attach, leave to cleave. Number two is to abide. It says, abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And when I think about abiding, I think soaking in His presence. And sometimes I think inside of the church that we're taught to think that being inside of God's presence is quiet time and it's about Bible study and us learning. And it is. But a huge part of it is just listening to God and receiving from Him. Have you ever sat inside of your quiet time and you put your Bible down? And you just sat with a journal and prayed and asked God, Lord, speak to me because I want to hear. Or are we so busy, right, thinking we've got to do it all right or get our lesson done or whatever? Are you soaking in God's presence by asking Him to speak to you? So we detach to attach. We abide in His presence by listening to Him. And then we ask in His name. We ask in His name. Now, what's interesting is in John chapter 14, Jesus talks about praying in His name. And then here in John chapter 15, He talks about asking in His name again. And you can hear in His words that He's really encouraging His disciples to ask. He says this, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Now, asking in Jesus' name, you know, and I talked about this in the podcast last week. I'm talking about it again. Praying in Jesus' name basically means this, that you are praying based off of who Jesus is, not what you think you deserve. And for some of us, because of our relationship with our mothers, we didn't want to ask for what we needed because our needs were never met. Or maybe our mom, they were strong-willed people and they, you know, just taught us to be tough or whatever. And so for us to be vulnerable before God and to ask for big, bold things, that is like crazy to us, right? But here's the truth. God is your nurturing mother that cares about your needs. And God created you to find the joy that comes from an intimate relationship with Him. And this is part of the reason why prayer is so important. Because when we express a need and God meets that need, there's trust built and intimacy built. And that gives us joy and it brings God glory. An expressed need becomes a met need, increase our trust and our intimacy with God. And so asking is a place of vulnerability. And it's almost kind of like, I mean, can you track with me on this? God tells us, Matthew 7, He says, ask. I mean, it's like a commandment, right? For us to pray and for us to ask. And sometimes I don't think women have a problem praying for other people. But I think sometimes we have a problem praying for ourselves. I will never forget inside of my Nourish Together group 2 years ago, one woman was vulnerable enough, bold enough to speak up and say, you know what, I don't have a problem praying for anybody. But when I cannot pray for myself, right? We feel selfish for doing that. We feel like it's wrong to speak up about our needs. And it comes from the fact that we've been conditioned, right, to think that way. But when we begin praying in Jesus' name, what that means is we pray based not on what we think we deserve, but in Jesus' name, what He can do, all that His name means, and all that His name means. That's who we pray for. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." God is your provider. Are you praying to Him for what you need, or do you feel like that's selfish? And then because you're not asking up for what you need, then what happens is that need is still there. But when that need doesn't get met, then there's anger that happens, right? Or we try to go out and get the need met in an unhealthy way. And so asking is a part of vulnerability. And here's the other thing about it is that when you come and ask Jesus, right, that you're asking Him, that you're not bringing to Him your good works or anything that you've done. You're just coming to Him to ask Him. It's a place of vulnerability. Are you positioning yourself to pray? Go back to the Matthew chapter 3, where the baptism, that was what God wanted them to do, right? And the Pharisees watched while Jesus waded in the water. And sometimes you're like prayer, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But no, God is asking us to do this. And we need to make ourselves vulnerable because it's in our vulnerability that we have the victory. And the last thing is to act. Much like He talks about in John chapter 14 and chapter 15, Jesus talks about that if you love me, that you'll keep my commands. And this is my new command. My command is to love one another as I have loved you. That when we act on what God is telling us, because here's the thing, a lot of times God will tell us to do things, give us, you know, and part of that, for example, prayer, right? It positions us to receive from God. And when we receive from God, we have what we need to give to others, right? But are we acting on His commandments so that we can receive, so that we can give, right? We've got to act. God calls us to pray. he called his people to be baptized. The Pharisees watched while others waited in the water. Are you willing to be vulnerable, to do what God tells you to do so that you can receive the nourishment that God is calling you to receive so that you can do all God has called you to do? And see, here's the thing. When we receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we become vulnerable before God and receive His comfort and receive, listen to Him and detach from others to attach to God, the Holy Spirit not only fills our need to be nurtured, but can heal our hearts in such a way that this new fruit emerges, eclipsing our insecurity and fear, and that is agape love for ourselves and for others. And this is why this is important, because it stops the cycle. Now, as much as you will say, well, you know, I'm not going to repeat this pattern or blah, blah, blah. You know, when we are not nurtured, that need is still there and we will go looking for it. And I'll tell you how I did that. It was actually in ministry by volunteering. And I was always so busy at church. And there was one season in my life where I was leading this Bible study. And there were like, it was growing. There were over 200 women there. And it was very powerful. But guess what else? I was getting a need met through that. I was not serving others all the way. Leading that Bible study allowed me to feel important and valuable. And one day God made it very clear that I was to walk away from that because there was some pruning that needed to be happened. That's what it talks about in our chapter this week, John chapter 15, that He prunes away things in our life. And a lot of times what He will prune away are the very thing that you're putting all your eggs in, you know, the eggs in your basket to try to receive that nourishment, right? To try to receive that love that you're hungry for. And sometimes He'll prune that away because He wants you to find Him. And I cried over that. When I had to let go of that Bible study, it was definitely one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. And I cried over that for a long time. But you know what today? What I see now and what I cry about now, and I probably tear up about this in gratitude to the Lord at least once every other week, was that I could have really driven myself in the ground, volunteering, trying to get my needs met through outside sources, trying to get that nourishment that I was looking for by being strong, by working hard, and all the while my children would have been on the back burner. And from that, I would have missed out on one of the most beautiful seasons of being a mom. But God, in His good gardening, pruned it away so that I could pull back and detach to attach to Him and get what I need from God, get that sense of worth and value and significance from Him so that I could pour out to my kids. My children that are now almost 20 and 17 years old. And now that they're growing older, what's interesting to see is this shift happening inside of Treasured Ministries, where Treasured Ministries is really starting to grow. And I think a new season is happening as my children fly out of the nest. But boy, there's not a day that doesn't go by that I'm so thankful that God pruned that for me. And He can do that with you. And you know what? There's still mistakes that I've made in my parenting, but I pray in Jesus' name and I believe that God can repay those years that the locusts have eaten. And in closing today, I want to ask you some questions to yourself that you can ask to yourself. And the first is, do you need to detach from someone or something to attach to God? And maybe it's a release in your thinking. Maybe it's a release through forgiveness by saying, of course you couldn't do that for me. You are only a branch, not the true vine. Do you need to detach to attach? If that's true, would you take down Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, and read through those and really think about that and what it is that you need to leave? And maybe it's a way of thinking that you need to detach from, that you're not good enough, that it's not okay for you to receive, that your needs are important, whatever it is, and then attach to the true vine. Number two, do you spend time abiding in your quiet time? Try it. And what I mean by that, and you know, I'm the Bible study queen. Like, I do Bible study all the time. I love studying the Bible. But it's always a good reminder to have some time to just pause and ask God, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? And then just listen and take out a sheet of paper and just start to write whatever he tells you. Number three, start to pray in Jesus' name, not in your name, not based on what you deserve, but pray in Jesus' name. And one of the ways that you can start is by looking at all the I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the door or the gate. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. In other words, Jesus, you are the bread of life. And so I come to you today and pray in your name and all that that means. You are my provider. You are the one that feeds my soul. You are. And start praying for yourself in Jesus' name. And number four, is there an action that God has called you to take? Will you act on it? And, you know, as I say that, some of you might be having condemning thoughts coming through your head. That's not from God. Sometimes God is trying to open up a door for blessing for you. He's trying to give you an opportunity for you to receive. Just like with the baptism and those Pharisees hanging out, just watching the baptism. But you gotta act on it. And maybe the action is that you start a bolder prayer life tomorrow. And you start doing that every single day of your life. But the bottom line is this. And again, I want to remind you that next time I come on, it's going to be part two to this. But that your victory will be in your vulnerability. And the little girl inside of you that had to grow up mighty quick and be an adult and let go of her childhood can now find nourishment and rest. You can now exhale and abide in the vine, because it's only when we do that that we will stop bearing the fruit of insecurity and shame and dysfunctional friendships and all those things that God doesn't want us to have. And we begin to bear the fruit of love, agape love for ourselves and agape love for others. Your victory is through your vulnerability. Thanks so much for listening in today, everybody. I look forward to talking to you next week. And if there's someone that you know that needs to hear this podcast, will you share with them? That not only will bring them a message from God's Word, but also helps Treasured Ministries to grow. One of the ways, the most powerful ways that we grow is through people like you that that will pass on, just pass the word on about what we're doing. And so we greatly appreciate that when you do that. Thanks so much again for listening in, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.